Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Paul Chapman to the broadcast. Paul is the Chief Information Officer of Box, an online file sharing and content management service. In that role, he's responsible for leading the company's global IT strategy and the IT organization focused on the development and delivery of IT solutions that support the company's growth and a more agile and productive workforce. Prior to his role at Box, Paul was the CIO of HP Software, a division of Hewlett-Packard. He also spent time at VMware as the Vice President of Global Infrastructure and Cloud Operations. Paul received his Bachelor of Applied Science in Computer Science from Filton Technical College in the UK. I recently caught up with Paul by phone in his office in Los Altos, California, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed the role that younger employees are playing at his company and beyond. Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed how Box is investing in security, both within and outside the organization. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how he operates his organization as the first and most referenceable customer of the organization's products. We also discussed what it's like to operate in an organization where change is viewed as not only inevitable, but also a source of strength, how he prepared prior to joining Box, his views on upcoming technology trends, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Paul Chapman, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Paul, I thought we'd begin with your current role. You are the Chief Information Officer of Box, a role you've held since July of 2015. I'd be interested now that since you are still relatively early in tenure, eight, nine months, something like that, how did you prepare for this role? You'd obviously been with other leading technology companies, HP, VMware, Sun Microsystems before this one, to name just a few, but this was a different kind of company, certainly. And I'd be curious in the days leading up to your ascending to this position, how you prepared for the role.
I think it's one of those things that whenever you're transitioning into a new organization, that organization has some history to it that, you know, puts it into its current form. As I spent time with leaders at Box and understanding the Box positioning in the marketplace, and learning more and more about the organization, the one thing that certainly became what I would call a difference in terms of transitioning from, say, some more of the traditional companies, was that Box was a company that was born in the cloud and has grown up digital. And so the footprint and the IT services and the IT landscape that you inherit in a company like Box is typically very different than most other organizations, in the fact that they've avoided building up a lot of quote-unquote tech debt, a lot of sort of legacy infrastructure, legacy operating models, and, you know, understanding the platforms that were in place that were running the business of Box, and understanding sort of that cloud-first model is different than typically most organizations, where you are somewhat having to manage your way out of some of that legacy environment. So it allowed me to jump in very, very quickly, look at the landscape of platforms and services that were in place, and then really the key thing was to really make sure and focus, make sure we were focused on leveraging those best-of-breed capabilities to a greater extent than we were at the time when I joined. But really the preparation was really understanding in advance what those cloud-based services and platforms were that were in place that were running the business of Box.
Makes sense. And Aaron Levy, when he announced your role as a CIO, the fact that you were coming on board, he noted, and I'm quoting here, "Our IT organization is free to focus on connecting best-of-breed solutions, creating a more agile and productive workforce, and solving core problems to differentiate our business." That's the end of the quote. And I wonder, what are some of the ways that you think of IT as differentiating the business of Box?
So there were a few things that I sort of quickly settled on as key themes into how IT was going to help Box not only to scale but also to become more data-driven and operationally more efficient and actually to focus on enabling to a greater extent as much workplace productivity as possible. So it's all about speed and agility, but at the same time, managing scalability and risk. And so one of the things that we noted, or I noted early on as a key theme for us, was that what is going to be our path to $1 billion? You know, as we grow and scale our business capabilities, how are we going to get there? Because what I'd identified was in this happens a lot in organizations that grow very, very quickly, growth can somewhat mask sins. And what I identified was that we were lacking sort of longer range planning, sort of roadmaps of how we were going to get to $1 billion, how we were going to scale out and have the right resiliency and so on in our in environment. So one of the things that, and this is sort of to Aaron's note, we've invested in a lot of best of breed capabilities, but we hadn't necessarily leveraged them to their fullest extent. So we had all the right platforms, but it's like sort of buying a sports car and taking it to the corner store and back and not really getting it out of first gear. So one of the early things that I did was focus in on understanding from a heat map perspective and a roadmap perspective, where do we need to invest time to really leverage these platforms to a much greater extent. The second one was really around a data-driven enterprise. I found that we weren't as data-driven as I would like to have seen us. And so we spent a lot of time in the environment looking at how do we provide better insights, better analytical capabilities to make better informed decisions. The third one is really focused on sort of the Box on Box story. And I don't just mean running Box on Box itself. Of course, we need to do that, and we need to be our own best referenceable customer. We need to be customer zero and customer one. We need to be alpha and beta testing new Box capabilities ourselves first, having a tight loop back into engineering on being that customer zero. But also, given that Box plays in an ecosystem of interoperability with lots of other partners, you know, DocuSign and Slack and Office 365, we also have to make sure that we are early adopters and early referenceable customers of the integration or interoperability across that ecosystem. So that's something that certainly has been a focus. And then the fourth one, the fourth sort of key theme that we focused in on was around workplace productivity. How do we take the work out of work, and how do we enable our workforce to be as productive as possible? And I think that that's an area that often goes underserved in a lot of organizations. It's traded off against other things. And so what we've done is made it one of our four key pillars for focus so that we can continue to make sure that our workforce is productive as possible. So that's sort of the four things that, and back to my earlier point, it's allowed me to really focus on those things because what I'm not having to spend time on as much is large operational activities, managing, keeping the lights on and running the business and managing large, sort of large on-prem operational infrastructure and services.
Very interesting. I want to linger for a moment on one of the points, at least, the Box on Box area of focus that you mentioned, and the fact that this positions you well, in some cases at least, to be the first referenceable, I think you said best referenceable customer with other customers, some of whom are peers of yours, that is chief information officers or head of the IT function of the customers of Box. And I wonder, how much time do you spend with the end customers of Box itself, and how do you think of yourself as that both advocate of the company that you are a part of, but also sort of empathetic ear as a peer and colleague to those in role at other companies?
It's a great question. This is a debate that went back and forth before I joined, with how much time would I have available to spend on exactly what you just said, and that is in an externally facing capacity, working with other CIOs, having those CIO-to-CIO conversations, peer-to-peer conversations. You know, often we're all dealing with the same challenges, the same complexities, and also there's an education around Box as well. You know, often Box is somewhat compartmentalized into a space that is rather narrow versus the broader capabilities of the Box platform and how some of the largest enterprises in the world are using Box to transform their businesses. And so the answer to the question is, it could be 100% of my time doing that, but finding that balance between the internal and external has been sort of where we've been sort of treading the fine line. The good news, again, is I've been able to hire a really solid internal IT team. In fact, before joining, IT was a little disconnected in that there were different pieces of IT going on around Box. And so when I joined, it was like sort of the first time that there was really a central organization. And so as we've found our sea legs and as we've got ourselves organized, as we've set forth with, you know, aligned direction and so on, as that engine is going, it is allowing me more cycles to spend on some of those externally facing but very important activities as well.
It's interesting. You talk about the lack of technical debt, the fact that this is, again, a digital native organization with the focus on the cloud, the best-of-breed solutions that are integrated in. There are a great number of aspects of IT that are not on your plate as a result of that, at least from an infrastructure perspective, or at least are minimized, let's say. I wonder what the implications, as you just described, some of the changes that were necessary in building your own team. Do you find that you've got a different org structure as a result of the differences of this organization? Have you thought differently about the way in which who reports to you, what roles and responsibilities they have, and so forth?
To some degree. Again, another good question. I've actually done some thinking about that myself. It's how drastically does it change your organizational model and your operating model when you have a born-in-the-cloud set of services that you manage? And in fact, it doesn't change necessarily the organizational structure drastically. Because a lot of the time it's about the services that run on top of, call it, quote-unquote, infrastructure somewhere. So it just allows more energy to be focused on business relationship, business engagement, driving value, adding value at a greater speed than maybe it would be if you were managing a large operational component of your responsibilities. So organizationally, it looks somewhat similar to how you would see most organizations. You know, we have a development organization, and you know they're doing engineering type services. We have business engagement, and we're working with our friends in finance and legal and marketing and sales operations and so on. And we also have typical desktop operations where we're evolving, the mobile and desktop experience and so on. But it's the piece that manages data centers, networking, compute, and storage. That's the missing piece because that's, as you know, has been pushed out and is managed by the service providers.
Indeed. I wonder, another one of the areas of focus that you mentioned was workforce productivity. And I'd love to understand a little bit further about that, perhaps peel back the onion a little bit more in terms of, again, as a digital native organization with a very young the average age at your organization, I have to imagine, is younger or trends younger anyway than past organizations that you've been a part of, and therefore the way in which they work and the way in which they are most productive may be different than the average organization that you'd worked with in the past. I'd be curious, number one, what sorts of differences there are in terms of how people work, if any, and then likewise, what are some of the areas that you're investing in to ensure that the workforce is as productive as they can be wherever it is that they may be working?
This is actually an area that is very different from, say, some more traditional companies that have built up a workforce with longer tenure and average age that's far greater than, say, a company like Box. And, you know, we all know the stories of, digital transients and digital natives. And, when I worked at HP, there were people that had been there 25, 30 years. And people that have been there only a few years, it balks generally most people have only, in some cases, this is their first job. So working with a workforce that's grown up digital, that, you know, has been educated by the likes of Amazon and Apple and Google, the ability to absorb change, or even the, I don't know if it's ability to absorb change, but the embracement of change is something that is a lot easier in an organization like Box. There is a want to change, to move things forward at a much more constant, steady state than, say, organizations that have more entrenched split inertia around the way they operate, around the systems that they have a bias towards or an ownership towards. So that actually is sort of refreshing in that you've got an organization that, as you look to roll out and release things, it's not like you need the 50-page manual and lots of change management and training and education. It's a lot more smaller, incremental, time to value is very, very quick. So those things of that actually is a refreshing, somewhat refreshing part. Although at some point there's a little bit of a tipping point where you have to be careful that you don't get bored, because last week we did the blue one, next week we want to do the red one. So you do have to find a little bit of balance. And the things that we have done, certainly we've driven a cloud-first model, so people should be able to work anywhere, anytime, any place with frictionless security. We've been able to leverage, you know, best-of-breed single sign-on tools, two-factor authentication, all cloud-based. We have mobile applications that are allowing people to enter expenses, approve expenses. Pretty much anything that you need to be able to run your business, you should run the business of Box should be able to done through, you know, through tablets and through laptops and through mobile devices. And so we've spent a lot of time focused on how do we take, as I said before, workplace, how do we take the work out of work and enable a productive workforce. You know, it's simple things. One of the things that we're actually rolling out right now is we actually have a brand new facility in Redwood City. And one of the things we've put into this building is a set of proximity sensors, which act as location aware. So what happens is that at any given point, the sensors know where I'm at in the building. And if I need to get to a person's desk, if I need to get to a conference room, if I need to get to a kitchen, if I need to get to any location in our building, I can simply use the app, and it uses internal GPS capability to get me to where I need to. Simple things like that, when you step into a conference room, automatically checking you in. Conference room availability is all done through integration with calendaring. And so those things those things take a lot of friction out of everyday working in an environment.
And it's interesting, you talked before about just the, you worked in companies where there were 30-year veterans, which just isn't possible, obviously, in an organization that's now coming up on its 11th birthday. And just the amount of change that the organization in that time has had in its early days, a variety of pivots, beginning as a consumer application by and large, moving more into the commercial space. Obviously, this has sort of foreshadows the innovator's dilemma, and the organization appears to still be in those early stages where it's willing to and able to, and still of a size even where it facilitates these pivots and changes and, you know, kind of even cannibalizing existing offerings where that's appropriate. I'm curious, actually, now, again, joining a company with that sort of a profile where change is thought to be not only inevitable but a source of strength in some ways, as well as the ability to tear down old plans if, in fact, they're not working, as opposed to continuing down them because of the whole sunk cost fallacy. I'm curious, culturally, what that is like to operate in a milieu like that.
It's the extension of sort of what I was mentioning earlier. There is a higher willingness to think of ownership bias. There is a greater willingness to give up some ownerships around things that have been built and not sort of become history majors in the way we've always done things, which to me is really somewhat of a antibody to attacking the future. I think, though, on the flip side, where that can start to create some headwinds is there is no substitute for experience, right? You get some experience being something you get just after you need it most of the time. is that as the company has grown and continues to grow, things do become more complex. And what got us to where we are is not going to get us to where we need to be. And so there is this sort of breaking the habit of we know what we need to do, or we think we know what we need to do, versus let me show you what we need to do, because we're boldly going where other companies have gone before, and it's a well-trodden path as you scale out an organization, as you grow globally, and as you think about how you collaborate and communicate and things become much more complex. And that, I think, has also been a really big strength of Box in the last year, is hiring in additional people to complement, you know, the great people we have at the Box, and the openness and willingness to partner with, say, some more senior folks that have just had more experience and time in the saddle that they're now bringing to bear at Box as we look to grow into that next phase. So it's a combination of those things that I think makes for a very powerful organization.
As you look out, say, 3 to 5 years, what are some of the trends that are particularly exciting for you? What are some areas that you and the team are beginning to dip your toe in the water in to investigate and to determine applicability back to Box?
A few things. Clearly, we have new employees driving new work styles, driving new workplaces, driving new style of IT, driving new style of CIO, and driving new style of business. And I think those things are all fueled by not only a wave of technologies that are that we're riding, but also, as I say, by new employees and new work styles, new workplace environments. I think that there's a few things that, when I think about the way work is being transformed, that come together here. Clearly, we are not building, and I didn't mention this earlier, but it's something I think is important, is that when legacy, they're now legacy, but they're still current operating models, were built, they were built at a time that was very different than today. And unfortunately, we've built up large amounts of, call it, for no better term, human middleware that operate a lot of the processes today, and we try to squeeze as much efficiency out of the way we operate. Today, with the capabilities we have for digitizing the way we work, and we've all seen, you know, these very disruptive digitized models such as, you know, the Netflixes and the Ubers and Airbnbs and so on. So for me, it's the things that I think are the next 3 to 5 years are a continuation to try to digitize as much of the way that we work, both internally and externally with our partners and our customers and suppliers and so on. Obviously, the cloud is becoming more mature in terms of the sets of services that are being offered, the scalability, the reliability, the trust and security, and I think that probably the chromosome that was missing from most enterprise software that was born in the past is a great user experience, that consumer-like great user experience. That combination of things is really fueling an accelerated move to cloud-based services. So digitization, cloud, new work styles, and then, of course, I think, I don't know if they're the things that excite me the most, but certainly in the next 3 to 5 years are going to be up front and center, along with those other areas, of course, is security and cybersecurity and trust, and how do we make sure that as we start to move towards a much more interoperable ecosystem of services, it's not going to be like everything's all bundled in SAP or bundled in Oracle or what have you. It's going to be more disparate but connected. We have to make sure that we're still protecting our companies from the threats of cybersecurity.
Interesting ones to call out, certainly. Lingering just one moment longer on the security point, how is security organized within the organization, and how is it taken into consideration as the company sort of continues to invest either in partner solutions or in its own solution?
Separating out two aspects of security. One is security around the business processes and the data and transactions that run the business of Box. And then, of course, there's security on the Box platform and the Box service itself. Both actually roll up into the same CISO who manages both, his organization manages both. And we actually apply a lot of very sort of stringent security requirements on our service providers the same as we get provided on ourselves, and also in the same way that we provide security for our product. And it's interesting when you get into that level of security. I was just doing some research to find out that only it's about 9.5% of the 10,000 cloud service providers out there encrypt at rest, which I thought was a very low number. And only 1% actually allow you to bring your own encryption key. So it's still a relatively low number that's encrypting at rest, although most of them are encrypting in transit. So the nice thing about the way that we're structured is that because security is such an important aspect and trust is such an important aspect of the Box service itself, we're able to leverage those same sort of great minds to apply to risk profiles that we might have as we turn on new services to run the business of Box. But that's sort of really how we think about it, those two areas.
Excellent. Well, Paul Chapman, thank you so much for joining us on the forum on World Class IT and talking a bit about your experience and your eight or nine months and tenure. Best of luck to you as your tenure continues.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.